So welcome, guys. My name is TJ Parisi, and this is Gordon Seltzer. And we, as you know, this is the class committed to purity. So one of the reasons why I think this is such a great class or an important class is because purity is a commitment. It's not something that you wake up and you're just like, oh, God is magically just going to change my heart. I'm never going to struggle with immorality, or I'm never going to struggle with fantasizing about something ever again. It's something that you do need to continually pursue and continually decide that you're going to hold to purity. I will say that the longer you have victories in your purity, I do think the easier that it gets, which is good news. And you guys actually can have victory in the area of purity. So if you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And before we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I do want to kind of define purity a little bit and throw some things for you to think about as we're reading the passage. And what I think I didn't realize for a long time is that purity is a much bigger topic than just sex. It's a bigger topic than we make it out to be. And I think a lot of it, when I first started off, I remember there was a guy who was sharing with me, and he was talking to me about how he was just fighting this mental battle. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I can't even have victory, you know, in my physical purity. How am I supposed to have victory in my purity on a mental level, on an emotional level? And it wasn't until much later that I started realizing, wow, that's actually where we need to start. That's where we need to fight the battle if we want to win. It is a change of mind. It is a change of heart that happens. But throughout the scriptures, you do see purity as a theme throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see it in words through pure and impure, clean and unclean, holy and unholy, proper and improper. What is common versus what is sacred, moral or immoral, and through what is acceptable or unacceptable. You also see this idea of completeness or wholeness come into play when you talk about purity. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But the idea of purity is really it's not necessarily a Christian idea. You know, for example, if you went to a restaurant and they brought out a dish to you, like a plate that sat on the table, right? You just had lunch, and there was tons of like dirt and stuff on it. What would you say? Can I get a new plate? Why? Why? It's nasty. This is nasty. All right. So you have a standard of purity. You have a standard of what you believe is acceptable for you to eat off of. What is acceptable for you to do. And so purity is concerned with like a proper ordering of the world and making sense of our world in light of that order. So purity, in a sense, it regulates what and who belong when and where. What and who belong when and where. And we'll explain that a little bit. But whenever something that we consider proper or clean has crossed over the line into a dangerous state of pollution, so to speak, that would be impurity. And so a lot of the time for us, when we think about what is the line, what is acceptable, what is okay behavior for us to do, that's a real talk. We want to know what is okay for us most of the time. And I think I'm speaking for me, but I think you can relate to this. We want to know where the line is so we can get as close to it as possible and still call ourselves followers of Jesus. Yeah. Why? Because there's a part of us that really desires sin, that desires the pleasure, right, or the temporary pleasure that comes with impurity. And so I want us, as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want us to listen for two things. Listen for our purpose and for the character of God in it. And so we are going to start in verse 9. And we're just gonna go through it. We're gonna break it down. We're gonna talk about it little by little. Because there's some awesome things that we can pull out of here. It says in verse 9, it says, Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So hold on. What is he saying here? He's saying what we are talking about today in this room, this is a salvation issue. This is something that if we do not take seriously, if we deceive ourselves into thinking it's okay because everyone struggles with their purity. What man on earth doesn't have a sexual desire or sexual drive? If we take that approach, if we're okay with that, then we've just deceived ourselves. We think, okay, this is cool because I struggle with it, you struggle with it, then God doesn't consider it a big deal. But he says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. But I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your bodies. So did anybody catch the purpose in that? Okay, what does it say?
Jesus comes and lives in us, and Jesus can't be inside of us. If you defile yourself, he can't be in you, and we won't have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah. What do you notice about the argument that the disciples, or the so-called disciples, are making? The so-called Christians are making.
They're saying, like I have a right to do anything. Like, you can't hinder me from, being what, my body causes me to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, they put on, the off-biology. It's like, oh, everyone has sexual desire, so why is it a bad thing?
Yeah. Yeah, if you notice that whole point where he says, food is made for the stomach. You got to understand the subtext of that. Food is made for the stomach. The is made for...
Yeah.
Bread.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. That's the argument that's being made there. And I said it's only natural, right? God made us that way, so that's how we're supposed to be. You know, not even taking into context the idea that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're supposed to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Right? So even if we were to say that it's natural for someone to do that, then we can clearly argue against it. No. You were not made for immorality. You were not made for impurity. You were made for so much more. We were made for the Lord, to be united with Him. And what I see is a lot of times men do not take their fight with purity seriously. You know, it's one of those things that, well, if I become pure, great. But if I don't, then I'm just the same as everybody else. Because I have these urges needs to be met. I've heard a lot of times where I've like even just shared with people about the concept of purity, that they're like, oh, poor man. You must be so repressed. You just must take your sexual desires and just jam them deep down inside somewhere, and so that one day they're just gonna go and like flying out, you're gonna do something crazy. Because that's the idea that people have. They don't believe that a change of heart is possible. Now, before we talked about the when and where and everything like that, right? That's a big deal to God. Because if God created everything, when you think about, if you know the Genesis account, what did He say? He says, and the first day God created everything, He looked back on it and He said, He said it was good. So we as men, yeah, there's a part of us, we were made as sexual beings. And that's a good thing. That's not something that we should be scared of. It's not something that we should be ashamed of. Or that we should feel, or that we should fear. But with that, along with that, we have to understand that God created it to be in a certain context. Right? When we think about what is an okay time, when is a good time for someone to express that, or a healthy place to express that, what for those of you who read the scriptures, when is that?
Marriage.
Right, I've heard of it as explained as like a bonfire. So you guys know, like, if you ever have like a fire pit, you start a fire. Fire is beautiful, right? And it's fun to play with, right? So you're looking at it, you're like, this is so cool. How it just consumes, and it's really a wonder. It's a marvel of God. Now there's a problem though. Is okay. So they're sitting there when the fire is in the pit. Where it should be, it's great. We can harness it. We can cook the meat that we love to eat in it. Life is good. But as soon as the fire steps out of that circle, so to speak, and it starts burning up the forest around you, is that fire good anymore? What? No. Why? What does it become?
Destructive.
Yeah, it's become dangerous and destructive. And so that's the same thing when we're talking about purity. We're talking about something that God created is beautiful, that is helpful, that should continue to be fuel, that we can even have a desire for, that's good, a burning desire for. But as soon as it steps outside of the boundary that God set it up for, He's saying, this is where it should be, this is where it's safe, this is where it's useful, this is where it's good, then it just becomes destructive to our lives. And so there is a change of heart, because what society has done is society right now wants to remove all notions of what is proper. And they want to push the boundaries, right, on what is appropriate to say and do. And that's something, right, you see it. We see it in our advertisement. We see it in TV shows that we watch, movies. I mean, sex is glorified. Relationship, worldly relationships are glorified. It's commonplace for people to do things like, you know, it's commonplace, unfortunately, for men to catcall women, to have one-night stands, for people to hook up, for people to watch pornography or glorify pornography in some way or another. And in the same way that it is so prevalent, impurity is so prevalent in our culture, it was in the church's culture, or it was in the culture surrounding the church at that time, too. Let's put this into perspective. They had in the Greek, during those times, they had over 50 different words for prostitute.
Wow.
50 different words for prostitute. Why would you need 50 words for prostitute?
Because it was happening a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was happening a lot. And so it's not like there's anything new under the sun. You know, the same way that this can become normal, we can see it as normal. But it's not normal. We were not made for that. We were made for the Lord. You know, purity, like all aspects of our walk, grounds itself in the character of God, in the worship of God, faithfulness to God. Your purity is a direct reflection of how you view Jesus and the love and respect you have for God. It directly reflects it. So when you think about, okay, I'm about to go watch this thing, and you know God has called you to something different, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's where you see whether or not you really respect and honor God over what you want, over what you desire. Because anybody can, right, when you don't, anybody can have victory for a little while. You have self-control. Right now, you are expressing self-control. You know how I know that? Because no one in this room is doing anything inappropriate, as far as I can see, right? So we can do it. We can do it. We're able to. So then what goes wrong? Well, there must be a part of us that just excuses it at some point later on. So what ends up happening is that with these disciples, they're just okay with things the way they were. They're like, well, I can do this, I can do that. I'm just going to push the boundaries. I can handle this, I can handle that. When Paul's saying, look, yeah, you say you can handle it, but that's not beneficial for you. Okay, maybe you could. I know this is something for some people. Maybe it is. Maybe you could be on your computer late at night and not struggle. Maybe you could. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm on my computer late at night. Sometimes, well, late at night, I'm playing video games, stuff like that. I'm not saying anything against that. But you have to know yourself and to know your heart when there are the times that you are more likely to struggle, when you're more likely to give in. Because I do know, you know, you get there as it gets later on in the night, and it's easier for your guard to be let down. I can't tell you how many times where I've talked to brothers, and they come, they confess their sin to me, and I start asking them different questions. So what happened that day? Oh, you know, I think Gordon will probably talk about this, but sometimes they say, I haven't read the Bible. I didn't spend time with God that day. So they struggle with it then. Or nothing has happened. Then I say, okay, what happened 2 days ago? Well, you know, I did watch this movie, this TV show. It might have had a sex scene or something in it. And, you know, I mean, it was there. I fast-forwarded it. But we don't realize how connected a lot of the things that we watch, a lot of the things that we feel do. And Gordon will share a little bit about that because he's had a lot of great victories in, and I think this is probably the simplest way is just connecting with his emotions. Because we as men, like, we don't always know what we're feeling and why we're feeling it. And that's something that plays in a huge role in our purity. But why does Paul have to tell the church in Corinth not to sleep with prostitutes?
Because it was so common.
Because they were. So that's one of my favorite things about classes like this. You guys are here, but we're, in a lot of ways, we're not really telling you anything new that you don't know. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to walk out of this class and you're going to be like, well, I walked in knowing that God says I need to be pure, shouldn't have sex before I'm married. I guess, you know, if you know Jesus' scripture where he talks about, but a man must not even look at a woman lustfully or else he's committed adultery with her in his heart, right? If you walked in knowing that, that hasn't changed. You're going to walk out still thinking that. You're going to walk out knowing that. So what's different? Right? Why is the church hearing something that they already know is wrong? Why is Paul saying that to them?
Sometimes we forget.
Sometimes we forget. Do you forget?
Not really.
Yeah. I don't forget. I know what God is telling me to do.
There could be some people that might
forget. You just stop caring as much as you used to. You're a good vulnerable.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's just it's like there's a flip of the switch there. It's not like you planned on doing it, then you're there.
It just happens.
Yeah.
It's a bridge you can't uncross.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When we think about holiness throughout the Bible, you guys know the idea of the Sabbath in the Old Testament? Okay, what was the Sabbath? This is going to tie in a second, but just bear with me.
The Sabbath was a day of rest, right?
It was a day of rest that they were supposed to do what?
Spend time with God.
Nothing, spend time with God. And so why was it such a big deal? There's a passage in one of the books in the Old Testament where a guy picks up sticks and is stoned to death on the Sabbath. Why?
Because it's considered working.
Okay, so what's the big deal about working?
It says that on the Sabbath that it's a day of rest, not a day of working.
What's the law of
it? So what?
It's like he's getting at the root of it. Putting something before God on that day.
Yeah. Yeah, but the idea was God did not want on his holy day, he did not want the common things that you would do every day joining onto the holy. Let me rephrase it this way. This is probably a much easier way of doing it. When it comes to our purity, God does not want it's something that he considers holy and righteous. He doesn't want us to treat it common like it's just any other aspect of our life. And so as he's talking about that, he's like, you can't sin. You know, you can't give into this. And you see that this was a prevalent, this sin was so prevalent in many men's life before they decide to follow Jesus. And he's saying, look, you can't carry over the behavior that you did before you were a Christian into your life in Jesus. It's absolutely not acceptable. You cannot do that. And so whether the sin in your life before was pornography, masturbation, so, you know, as we talked about before, scrolling through the Facebook photos, sexual activity is considered holy to God. Holy. Right? We're supposed to worship him in a way that brings him, you know, that brings him glory. We can't just treat it commonly. Gordon's going to come up in a second, but you know, if you think about it, the temple of God is a holy place. And he's saying that our bodies are holy. Our bodies are supposed to bring glory to God. And so the same way that we, you know, if we think about our bodies as a temple of God, We're not gonna do it that way. You know, it says this one theologian. He says, if you want to encounter a holy God, then you need to be a holy follower. If you want to connect with God in that way, you need to give. You need to approach Him in a way that's worthy of His holiness. And it also talks about completeness, but. Why don't I have Gordon come up and share, and then we can, I'll either add some things at the end, but I think I definitely want him to share some stuff.
Well, the word holy means set apart, right? But what's your definition of it?
Yeah.
Just set apart, right?
Yeah, well, we are set apart from the way that the world does things. Mm-hmm. We are dedicating ourselves to God to do things in the way that he calls us to do. You could tell that the Israelite nation was different from the other nations around them by the way that they conducted themselves. People will be able to tell that you are a follower of Jesus because of the way that you conduct yourself differently than the world around you. If you are giving into pornography, if you are giving into masturbation on a regular basis, then have you set yourself apart from the world?
No.
So we, in a sense, we are not holy. We are acting in a way that is impure, that is unclean by God's standard. And so, yeah, I think Gordon has had some great victories in this area as well. I think he's a little bit closer than I am. I guess I wanted to more just present the general idea, the heart behind it, because to be pure, to be holy, is to imitate God's character.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so if you walk out with nothing else that I've said this whole time, is being pure, being holy, is imitating the character of God, imitating the love of God. Right? God gives everything to us, but he gives everything to us in a committed, right, relationship. In the same way, right? We must be in a committed relationship to do so. So when you think of, like, when I think about my purity and my walk with God, you know, obviously I continue to struggle. I have my temptations. I have my challenges. But what I go back to is really this mindset of, God, I want to do things your way because I believe that they are better. I know that you care for me. So there's a part of you that you stop desiring it the way that you used to. I have the idea of, and this is when you look at 2 Corinthians 7, where it talks about repentance, right? It talks about, one of the things it talks about is indignation,
right?
And really hating your sin, hating your old way of doing it, wanting to leave it behind. The idea of being impure and doing things outside of God's plan and way, it honestly disgusts me. I don't want that. Sex doesn't. That I'm not saying that sex does. I'm not saying, because that's good, right? It's what God has created. But the idea of doing it a different way than God intended, that is what we should look at and say, no, I want no part of that. And so Gordon's going to come up and share a lot of great practical and some things that have really helped him.
Hey, Gordon.
Gordon. All
right. Thanks, TJ. Really appreciate that. I just want to say TJ is one of the guys that's helped me the most in my purity. Well, obviously, spiritual walk in general, but I wouldn't call him that. That's his word.
That
wasn't recorded, right?
It was just now.
Anyway, I just want to thank every one of you guys for being here, because honestly, for every one of you guys that's here, there's 10 of the guys that need to be here that are not in this room right now. So you guys all have a lot of, are taking accountability for yourselves for being here, because this is not, like TJ said, this is a problem that affects all men. And just because me and TJ are talking it doesn't mean that we're pure. Just because we haven't given in to physical impurity fairly recently doesn't mean we don't struggle in other areas, because like he said, Jesus Christ said, anyone that looks at a woman lustfully is committing adultery. So I'm not up here saying I'm pure, because there's still mental aspects of purity that I still struggle with every day. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about. I'm going to basically give you guys like a how-to on how to be pure. So it sounds too good to be true, but it kind of is if you really want it. And I want you guys to kind of take notes if you can. But I just want to say, you know, the first thing we have to do that TJ kind of talked about is we have to change our hearts. Because a lot of us are not even ready to be pure, because we want it for the wrong reason. Like, first off, I want to say some of us don't really want to be pure. That's just the honest truth. Like, we like the idea of purity, but actually we love the idea of sinning. Like, we love our sin. You know, it's like, I want to be pure, but I love watching porn. I love masturbating. I love, you know, talking to girls, flirting with girls at work, and picking up numbers. I like doing that stuff. I like when women look at me a certain type of way. So we're not really there yet. Some of us, we want purity as a way to kind of like earn God's love, because we feel like God won't love us unless we're pure. So we want to just kind of like stop sinning, because the Bible says to stop sinning, because that way, you know, God will love us more, and God will, you know, God won't be angry at us. But the reality is that even if God's love is unconditional, it's not dependent on our physical purity, you know, and God loves us. His love can't be earned. So that's a false belief. And just because we are not sinning in that one way doesn't mean our lives are not filled with other types of sin. And God loves us anyway, so it has nothing to do with that. And then another reason sometimes we're not ready to be pure is because we want purity as a means to be viewed as like good disciples, or we want to be viewed as like a leader. We want to be a leader. We want people to kind of look up to us. And these are all reasons why we are probably not going to be given purity. Because purity is a gift from God, and if our hearts aren't humble, He's not going to give it to us. So, the first thing we need to do is change our heart, and we need to reach a point of desperation. That point of desperation meaning we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to do what it takes to be pure. And that is basically a desperation. The right reasons could be a desperation for a close relationship with Christ, a desire to be like Christ. We could be tired of grieving the Holy Spirit, or just tired of hurting others with our impurity, because it also affects the people around us. You know, it affects our brothers, it affects their confidence in the Holy Spirit, it affects our sisters and their ability to trust men. And it can even lead to sexual sin. Like, let's be honest, you know. It leads, you know, everybody comes from a different place, you know, and there's all types of stuff that happens within the church, within every church, because of this sin, you know, where people cross the line with, in terms of like having sex and doing impure things, sexual immorality. So I want to talk about this concept of purity being a gift from God and being something that we get from God and not off our own strength. So I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. So 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 3. It says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lusts like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." So, as you see, in verse 3 it says it is God's will. I'm going to go down to Romans 8. We're going to kind of move quickly through these scriptures. In Romans 8, in verse 5, Paul writes, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." So I read these scriptures and I think about this, right? A mind set on the flesh is death, and a mind focused on the Spirit is life and peace. So if we know that sin comes from having a mind focused on the flesh, then we need to have a mind focused on the Spirit. And my path, the victories that I've seen is coming from feeding the Spirit and having a mind focused on the Spirit. So I want to give you 5 things that I did. It's not like a secret code. They're just pretty much basic steps in the Bible on, you know, how to get closer to God. The first thing, and I like the term we use today. We use commitment to purity, because if it's a commitment, it's something we do every day. So I want to look at this. The first thing is prayer. Again, it seems pretty obvious, but I want to look at Mark 9, in verse 29.
Mark 9:25.
It says, "When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. 'You deaf and mute spirit,' he said, 'I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?' He replied, 'This kind can only come out by prayer.'" So what kind of spirit was this thing? It was an impure spirit. And how did Jesus drive it out? Right. And I'm going to give you guys like a little side note. Like the last time that I was going to give in to masturbation, I was sitting down, to watching pornography. I had my computer, I was sitting in my bed, and I was going to go. I literally, every part of me just wanted to go. You know, the addiction cycle, right? You first thing you do is kind of like go on your browser and you kind of like, you know, like, oh, I wonder what I'll search, you know? And I was thinking about watching something else. So I watched like a video about, you know, why you shouldn't masturbate. And then I was like, why you shouldn't watch porn? And then I was just like, you know, this is not doing it. And I just wanted to watch porn so bad. I literally just prayed. I prayed, God, drive this impure spirit out of me. Drive this impure spirit out of me. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And God gave me the strength to put my computer away. And since that day, I haven't watched porn. Now, just because that happened and I didn't watch porn that day doesn't mean that that's why I have been pure. But that, I believe, is why the impure spirit left. But just because the impure spirit is gone doesn't mean that it can't come back. And I want to kind of look at what happens when we have victories in our purity, but somehow we fall back into it, and why that happens. And I believe that the answer is not feeding the Holy Spirit through Bible study. So I want to look at another scripture as to what happens once that impure spirit leaves. And I'm going to give you the second thing that I did every day to achieve purity is reading my Bible. I want to look at Luke 11, guys. So the first thing I did was prayer, and the second thing I did was Bible study. So Luke 11, are you guys there? You guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right. In Luke 11, in verse 24, it says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. So this impure spirit left, right? It was wandering around without a place to stay. And it looked and it saw, look, this guy, he swept clean, he swept the house clean, and it's open. Nobody's living there. And it's kind of like when we take that impurity out of our lives, right? Because we stop dating, having sexual relationship, or we stop watching porn, all of a sudden there's a huge void there. What do we do? Like when we get stressed out, when we feel like an urge, all of a sudden there's a gap there and there's nothing to fill it. So what's going to happen? As soon as we fall back in, it's 10 times worse than before, or 7 times worse than before in this case, right? So I look at this and realize that the only way to feed that spirit, to feed the Holy Spirit, is through reading the Bible. And when that impure spirit comes back, it's not going to see an empty house. It's going to see the Holy Spirit sitting there, you know, chilling on the porch with like a pit bull, like a shotgun in his lap. Like, don't come over here. You know, like don't come and mess around in this house. You know? And Jesus did the exact same thing when he was tempted by the Spirit. When he was tempted by he was tempted by sin. And he responded, he took care of himself when he was weak by reading the Bible. And I want to look at that in Matthew 4. And this is my favorite scripture, guys. Matthew 4, verse 1. So it says, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world with their splendor. All this I will give you he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him. Angels came and attended him. So what is the phrase that's repeated four times in his 11 verses?
It is written.
And Jesus is out there 40 days, 40 nights. No food, no water. You think this guy was doing, what do you think? He was at his best right now? He was pretty weak. It said he was hungry. And Jesus Christ was weak. If Jesus Christ is weak, and Satan comes and attacks him, and his only defense is the word, then how much weaker are we? Who are we to say we can't be reading the Bible? And if I leave you guys with anything here to walk away with, it's to read the Bible every day. I promise you, that is the number one thing that's going to help everybody in this room with your purity, is if you read the Bible every day. Because, verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. If we're not reading the Bible, we won't survive spiritually. We're not going to survive against when Satan attacks us. The third thing I want to share with you guys is be open. Be vulnerable every day. TJ and me do the check-ins with Purity Pals because I have a problem with vulnerability. I hate talking about the times that I messed up. I hate talking about being weak. I hate talking about, the emotions that I'm feeling. But if I don't do it, I'm gonna keep them bottled up. I have to talk daily. And what we do every day is I call him up on the phone, and it starts out like this, hey, what's up? Like, how's your day? And then we do a check-in. And the things that I confess, it's either sin, and if I don't necessarily have it, can't necessarily identify a physical sin, then I'll confess the temptations that I had. Look, I saw like some girl walking down, and I was driving, and I turned my head to look at her, I'll confess, some emotion that I was feeling. I felt overwhelmed. I felt stressed out. I felt angry at this one brother. I'll confess that I broke a boundary. I was watching this TV show I know I shouldn't have been watching. And I confess these things because if I don't, I know that they're gonna build up. I think that sometimes we trick ourselves by only confessing when we sin or not confessing at all. Like, we gotta confess every day. And I call him every day, no matter what, no matter if it was a good day or a bad day. He doesn't need it. You see,
I didn't need it. We all need it. All
right. He needs it. 8 years, right? And it was bad, bro. The first time I called him, I'd be like, yo, TJ, I masturbated. I watched pornography 2-3 times today, man. I was just stressed out. Like, I didn't want to talk to God. I didn't read the Bible. And he was like, yeah. That was my turn, right? Then he goes, yeah, I thought about looking at a girl that's kind of cute that I maybe saw out of the corner of my eye, but then I didn't. that's what it's going to be like, let's say you guys, I want to challenge you guys, like, find somebody in your ministry you can talk to, right? Not somebody in your ministry, somebody in another ministry, find somebody you can talk to that can help you out. And
can I add a thought to that?
Sure.
I think it's also important that you have conversations, if there is someone who's had consistent victory, to be there with you. Because I think that's one of the things that, as we've talked, it's the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. You guys are like, oh, well, I'm good. This is what I think we should do. You're like, you don't even know if that's going to work. And so it helps if you have access to someone who you know has had consistent victory in their purity, to be able to talk to them about things. I think there are times where just because I had been through something before, I could relate to what he was saying, or I knew what questions to ask to kind of dig out what emotions he might have been feeling or thinking that led you know, to whatever temptation or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that took some embarrassment on my part to. I had to push through some of my pride because he's talking about maybe thinking about sinning, and I'm talking about serious sexual sin. You know what I mean? So that's what it might be like sometimes. You want to challenge yourselves. Find somebody that's having some success, so that when you talk to them, they can help give you pointers. They can help you guide you. And I mean, sometimes it's not about always having the right answer. Sometimes you just need someone there to listen and let you confess. You know, they don't need to always be there to necessarily tell you, you know, this is what you got to do. The more important thing is you letting things off your heart. And you can see that right. It happens in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I hope I'm not overwhelming you guys.
No.
All right. It says, this is the message we have heard from him. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. So guys, if you have unity with the blood of Jesus, you have to be confessing your sin. It says the blood of Jesus will purify you if you walk in the light, as he is in the light. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out in the truth. We need to bring it out into the light when we sin, when we have these darkness, when we have dark thoughts, when we think, when we're tempted with sin, when there's a girl in our class or at work that's hitting on us. We need to talk about that. It's not everybody's going through it. Everybody's going through it. We're not any different from anybody else. I told you what I went through. I still go through it. You got to call somebody up and confess to them. And I'll give you two more things, guys. Two more things that I'm doing right now. The first one is praying. Second one is reading the Bible every day. Third one, confessing every day. The fourth thing is fasting. And I just want to look back at that scripture in Matthew 4. And you don't even have to turn there. But again, in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from God. And that every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I think sometimes we talk about fasting, but we don't actually think about it so much as an important part of our walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. But guys, self-control. TJ said, yeah, we all have self-control. We're all here right now. And it's very true. But self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's in Galatians 5, 21. But self-control, 22. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes from God. So when we fast, that trains our self-control. That's how we nurture that. That's how we were tested. And Jesus went into the wilderness. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that's impossible for us. I mean, my faith ain't there. But Jesus was fasting, and it forced him to deny himself and rely on God. And that's what we have to do. You know, he couldn't survive on food, so he fed off of the Word. Now, I'm not saying go for food.
How long do you fast for?
I'm gonna get to that, because that's a good question. You know, I think that really depends on you. I'm not going to tell you. You might have a medical condition or something like that. Sometimes I don't fast from food and water. Sometimes I fast from my cell phone. Honestly, that's harder for me.
Yeah.
From going like 12, let's say I go 12 hours without using my phone, that's sometimes harder than me than going 12 hours without food and water.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm distracted, the first thing I go to is my phone. You don't have your phone on you, you're going to want something to do with your hands. So I replace it. I put the Bible in my hands. I read that. So that's something that I think is very necessary. And it's something, these are all things I do consistently. After 120 days, I'm still doing this stuff consistently on a regular basis, because I know that if I stop doing it, you know, I'm likely to fall back in. And the fifth thing is just having strong boundaries. And I want to just look at Genesis 39 and verse 11. Sorry, I'm going through a lot of scriptures, guys.
It's good.
Genesis 39.
Genesis 39 and verse 11. It says, one day he went into the house to attend his duties. This is talking about Joseph, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was put in charge of his master's house when he was a slave. And there's his master's wife keeps trying to get him in bed. And he wants nothing to do with her. It says, one day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran from the house. So guys, Joseph had boundaries. When something happened, he ran. He wasn't going to be left in that room with her. He didn't even wait to grab his cloak back. He just ran. And I say that because when we're trying to pursue purity, we can't just do whatever we want and expect to be strong enough. We got to have boundaries. I know one of my boundaries is that, reading the Bible every day. If I go a day without a quiet time, without talking to God, I'm going to struggle. The other thing is, you know, I have certain boundaries with the sisters. Like a boundary for me, for example, you know, I don't text women. I try not to text any sisters after 10 o'clock at night. You know, another thing I could do, which I am doing, I don't listen to music, with to worldly music. If I listen to music, it's either Christian music or it's music without words. Because if I'm listening to music all the time, they're talking about relationships, they're talking about sex, the first thing I'm going to think about is relationships and sex. It's just natural. It's not easy, but I know that I care more about, it comes from what TJ said, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. So I'm not saying those have to be your boundaries. I'm just saying, trying to share what I do and saying that you got to come up with your own boundaries and kind of stick to them if this is what you want. There's some other things you could do. One other thing I do, I keep a daily tracker of my victories and setbacks. I try to keep track of them. I do research on pornography, the effects it has on the brain. When I hit certain goals, I try and reward myself. And, there's other things. There's other things a lot of people have success with. Like, there's purity groups in a lot of our ministries. You know, I challenge you guys to think about going to them, to go to it. Because if you're, don't wait till you're married. You know, deal with this thing now. If there's a purity group, that's a great thing. Those guys will help you out.
Oh, and if you don't have one in your ministry, think about starting one. Paris started one. Paris Cunningham's minister in the Bronx, and he started one when he was struggling really bad. And because of that, the Bronx has one for people in general, and now I just started one for campus. So don't feel like because you're not doing well that you can't start one. Just open a platform, a conversation. You're not the only one struggling with that. Don't be on your own.
Amen.
I think I have something similar to that, to what Gio said. I know in the Albany campus ministry, some of the brothers, we meet up at like 10:30 a.m. at the library of one of the colleges for like a prayer time. And so we just like pray, just like meeting about like everything, like, oh, pray that campus ministry is doing well, pray that the church on Sunday's good. And then, you know, eventually we'll start praying for like our families, our friends, you know, what we struggle with and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of similar to what Gio said, like have like a group, you know, it could even just be a group of brothers you just met even, you know, as long as, you know, you're willing to open up and get real, and, you know, even as well as pray, you know, talk to God about it, it'll help, it'll benefit as well.
Well, yeah, those, that's great, man. You guys want to, you definitely want to look for those types of things. I'm just giving you those things because they work for me. The prayer, Bible study, being open every day, having strong boundaries, and fasting. And I tell you, like, that has done wonders for me. I would not be sitting here. I'll answer questions in a minute. I would not be standing here without doing those things. So I just want to challenge you guys to really put that into practice if you're desperate. You know, be willing to do whatever it takes. Don't sit there and say that you're helpless, because nobody here is, say that you're hopeless, because nobody here is hopeless. There's hope for everyone in this room to walk forward in purity. You just have to be willing to put in what it takes and be desperate for your relationship with God, because you notice all those things are just about seeking God more. And if you work in your relationship with God, He'll work on changing your heart. And I want to just say that, you know, it's okay to be helpless, but, I mean, it's okay to be hopeless, but no one here, it's okay to be helpless, but no one here is hopeless. We're all helpless. I'm helpless to my impurity. I don't have self-control naturally. Naturally, I'll be lusting at every girl I see. But I'm not hopeless. You know, everyone here has an opportunity to walk forward in purity. So, You know, Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." You guys are being made holy. Christ has already made you perfect, but just continue to persevere, and you're a work in progress. So that's all I got, guys. Thanks. Yeah.